But American cities didn't have this many galleries, she decided, after counting five in a few blocks, and then they were on another bridge. Her phone rang again.
Sorry, she said. Hello?
Hello, said Big End.
Where are you?
In the car, with Ollie and Odile, going to your flat. Pamela told me you'd taken her along.
Why?
She knows someone who knows our friend, she said. Speaking of whom, why didn't you tell me he was Canadian?
It didn't seem important, said Big End.
But now I'm here. Is he here?
Not quite. Doing paperwork with a customs broker in Washington State, we're guessing. GPS matches up to a broker's address.
Still, you know what I told you about being honest with me.
Being Canadian, said Big End, even in today's fraught world, isn't always the first thing I'd mention about someone. When we were discussing him initially, I had no idea he'd be headed that way. Later, I suppose, it slipped my mind.
Do you think he's bailing out? She watched their driver.
No, I think something's up there.
What?
What the pirates saw, he said.
They came off the bridge into a sudden low canyon of much more downscale nightlife. She imagined Bobby's luminous wireframe cargo container suspended above the street, more enigmatic than any neon-skinned giant squid.
But we'll find a better way to discuss it, shall we?
He doesn't trust phones either, she thought.
Right.
Do you have any piercings? He asked. They took a right.
Excuse me?
Piercings. If you do, I must warn you about the bed in the master bedroom, the top floor.
The bed?
Yes. Apparently, you don't want to crawl under it if you have any magnetic bits, steel, iron, or a pacemaker, or a mechanical watch. The designers never mentioned that when they showed me the plans. It's entirely about the space underneath, visually. Magnetic levitation. But now I have to warn each guest in turn. Sorry.
I'm entirely as God made me, so far, she told him, and I don't wear a watch.
Not to worry, then, he said cheerfully.
I think we're here, she told them, as Ollie turned off a street where everything seemed to have been built the week before.
Very good, he said, and hung up. The Volkswagen rolled down a ramp as a gate rose. They entered a parking garage, brilliantly lit with sun-toned halogens above a pale, glassy, concrete floor devoid of the least oil stain. The car's tires squeaked as Ollie pulled in beside another oversized Volkswagen in pearly white. When she got out, she could smell the fresh concrete. They got their things out of the truck, and Ollie gave them each a pair of white, unmarked magstrip cards.
This one's for the elevator, he said, taking Hollis's and swiping it beside doors of brushed stainless, and access to the penthouse levels.
Inside, he swiped it again, and they rose, swiftly and silently.
I suppose I don't want to get this under the bed, Hollis said, visibly puzzling Odile as he handed it back to her.
No, he said, as the elevator stopped and its doors opened, nor your credit cards. They followed him along a short, carpeted hallway that a van could have been driven through.
Use the other card, he told her.
She shifted the carton to her left arm and swiped the second card. He opened the very large ebony door, which she saw was a good 4 inches thick, and they stepped into a space that might have been the central concourse in the national airport of some tiny, hyper-wealthy European nation, a pocket Liechtenstein founded on the manufacture of the most expensive minimalist light fixtures ever made.
The flat, she said, looking up.
Yes, indeed, said Ollie Slight. Odile dropped her bag and started walking toward a curtain of glass wider than an old-fashioned theater screen. Uprights broke the view at intervals of 15 feet or so. Beyond it, from where Hollis stood, there was only an undifferentiated gray-pink glow with a few distant points of red light.
Formidable, exclaimed Odile.
Good, isn't it? He turned to Hollis. You're in the master bedroom. I'll show you. He took the carton and led her up two flights of giddily suspended stairs, each tread a 2-inch slab of frosted glass. Big End's bed was a perfect black square, 10 feet on a side,
floating 3 feet above the ebony floor. She walked over to it and saw that it was tethered, against whatever force supported it, with thin, braided cables of black metal.
"I think I might make something up on the floor," she said.
"Everyone says that," he said. "Then they try it."
She turned to say something, and in doing so, saw him asking the girl at the counter in the Standards restaurant for American Spirit cigarettes. Same yellow pack, same beard, like moss around a drain.